joining us on the line from the 19th Legislative District from Longview, Senator Jeff Wilson. Senator Wilson, thanks for your time this afternoon. Appreciate you joining us on the program.
Rob, thank you for having me. A pleasure to be on KONA today.
So, Senator Wilson, you've got a very interesting bill, and something as Greg and I were discussing a little bit earlier in the program, and Greg was like, I would think something like this would already be in place.
Yeah.
Well, that's not entirely true, because we've learned, I think, over time to never assume anything. So this bill that you are proposing in this coming legislative session will target what has become a major issue, not just in Washington state, but also around the country, and that is this theft of catalytic converters. Talk to us about the extent of the problem, and then when you decided to come up with this piece of legislation.
Well, you know, this is one of those Captain Obvious problems. You can't read a paper, you can't listen to the radio, you can't look at any media and not realize that for some reason catalytic converters have become the new epidemic of crime of the day. Everybody's losing a catalytic converter. It's a crime that attacks churches, home workers. Everybody that has a vehicle, has a catalytic converter, is in the crosshairs of criminals to take that property, which does not belong to them. And the market rewards them. There is due to the precious metals market, the prices for those metals has gone skyrocketing. So we haven't seen this crime increase a little bit. We have seen this crime turn into an all-out epidemic in every state. In Washington State, the Tri-Cities, nobody escapes this crime, Rob. It's an ugly crime that we need to make an attempt. I'm not promising to solve the crime, absolutely not. But this doesn't have checks and balances. Like you were talking, we need to do something. How can we not do something? So really, that's the thesis for me to grab this issue and to make that first effort. I'm sorry nobody's done it before, but I too share that. This should have been a problem that we should have addressed when the warning signs were there.
So, Senator Wilson, what is the piece in the chain that your bill would specifically address?
Well, the piece in the chain comes when the transaction to turn in that catalytic converter, whether the catalytic converter was stolen, it fell from the sky, or you found it on the street, there has to be a check and balance at the receiving point when you bring this metal piece in. And you expect to be paid for that. And therein lies the transaction. I'm not trying to end that transaction. I'm trying to slow it down. In other words, if you show up at a license at a reputable recycling facility, you're not going to get cash on the spot. You're going to have to wait a few days. And there has to be some documentation along the way. And I got to tell you, Rob, I got to be real careful on this. There are a lot of metal recycling facilities. They serve and they do our communities a good job. They take care of our Hulk automobiles. So those that are in the business, they do a good service. What I'm trying to do is to not have this happen so under the no questions asked. Can't do business like that anymore. So really, the recyclers do a good job, but they're going to have to participate in the solution to this, to slow down this crime spree.
We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th Legislative District at Longview here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Wilson, Greg Neft here. And, you know, while I'm listening to this, and it sounds like a great idea, and it's something we probably should have done a long time ago, here in the Tri-Cities and even in Spokane, there's one hole here I see, and that is you can be in Oregon in 25 minutes from here, and if you're in Spokane, what is it, 10, 15 minutes or so, where you can be in Idaho where no such law exists. Is there any way that you can address that by crossing interstate lines?
Well, Greg, that's exactly one of the motives I tried to look at was we need to make sure that when states border each other, that one state is not more attractive to the other when it comes to importing stolen goods or exporting. So at the very least, this bill that I have, it echoes and mirrors the state of Oregon. In other words, the playing field should be the same on both sides, so that there's not the incentive to run across the border. And this type of theft, Greg, it's spurned whole new crime organizations. There are large theft rings that go around and specialize in this type of crime, and they move from state to state. I don't want states to play each other off. I want all states to stand strong on this crime to reduce the incentive to do the crime.
So if I may follow up, so Oregon does have similar rules, or they have stricter rules than we do right now?
Yeah, the state of Oregon has very similar rules into effect in January, and it comes with a lot of the same consequences. The consequence in my bill, it's the same in Oregon. It's a misdemeanor. And a lot of people will say, well, that's too light of a punishment. But therein comes a civil fine of $1,000. And that's really a way to say, listen, that those that profit on this, if they're going to do so, there could be a penalty that's going to ruin your profit dreams. Do not get caught and don't do this crime. It will not pay.
We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line. So, Senator Wilson, you know, going back to one of the things that you discussed regarding the recycling places, you know, this isn't certainly an indictment on them and the business that they do. But as we've also placed a level of responsibility on other retail businesses or service businesses to be on the lookout and aware to try and minimize criminals being able to profit, that's simply all this is an ask of for them, is make sure it's from a reputable source, make sure that the person selling it has documentation that they have obtained this legally, and then go right ahead and give them top dollar for it. But if they can't provide that information, you can't take it.
Yeah, you know, we need these recyclers. We need their help. They are not the problem. They are in the business to do what they do, and they provide a valuable service to our communities. However, we need them a lot. And a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute. Stealing a converter is already against the law. Why aren't the police doing their job? Come on, everybody. This crime takes as little as 60 seconds. And it's so voluminous, there are thousands of catalytic converters that are being stolen in Washington state. We may not have enough police to do this. So this puts another check and balance at the point of sale. And I think it's unfair if we say that this is part of a lack of response from the police. This is a very common crime now, and now it's reached the proportion where we need to slow it down. And all the working families around the Tri-Cities, I've read news stories of vehicles simply sitting along the road at I-82, and they have their converters cut off while they're just simply broke down or run out of gas. This has gone way too far.
Well, but is there, without this legislation, Senator Wilson, is there a way for a recycling place to look at a catalytic converter being brought in by someone and say right on the spot, yeah, we know this isn't yours? It doesn't seem to me that there's a way that you can prove at this point in time whether or not said converter was obtained by illegal means until you put in a provision where you have to credibly check where it came from.
Absolutely. And I need to be very clear to all of your listeners here that there are many accounts, and Washington State allows that for what's called commercial accounts. And these are businesses that handle catalytic converters on a regular basis. Let's say an auto repair shop or a muffler shop. They're known as a commercial account, and they deal with these recycling facilities on a regular basis, and they are vetted. They have that checks and balance. This bill simply covers those that are not a commercial account, just walking in off the street with an armful of catalytic converters. You're no longer going to get away with not having to answer any questions. So that's what the bill separates on, who's selling and buying.
We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th Legislative District in Longview here on The Bottom Line.
And Senator Wilson, Greg Neft here again. What makes the catalytic converter, in essence, the new iPhone? I mean, why is it so desirable? I mean, besides cutting your car's emissions and keeping down its power output.
Well, you know, catalytic converters contain what we call those precious metals, and platinum, and rhodium and other greatest hits of precious metals. And the world market for those has simply skyrocketed. So what's in those converters is now worth something, and that value of that market's not going to go down. So there's an incentive to get your hand on those converters. But yet the crime, the impact, what it does is, on a Washington working family, it's not that your converter's worth $150 at the scrap metal dealer. It's that if you're victimized, you're going to have to come up with $1,000 to $4,000 just to fix it. And a lot of people depend on their car. That is their last method at times, just to get to and from work. It's critical that people can go start their car up and get to their place of employment or do their family business, not worrying about a surprise impact of being ripped off and not having the money to even fix their car. It's very tragic.
So, Senator Wilson, take us a little bit through the process. You'll introduce this. Which committee is this going to go through? And do you have any Democrats that have signaled that they are open to supporting or co-sponsoring this bill?
Yeah, the process is going to be, I'll get it into whatever committee would hear it. It could be law and justice. And I'll offer up that we, as senators and or legislators, we pre-shop our ideas. Nobody wants to come up with a what we think is a good idea and then have it politically just terminated. So I have pre-shopped this, and I'm proud to say, I can't announce the names yet, that I am receiving bipartisan support. We were able to pre-file our bills yesterday in the Senate, and our session doesn't start until January 10th. I expect a large portion of co-signers, and this is the kind of stuff that makes me proud, you guys. We don't argue amongst ourselves. It makes me feel good when we both come together and have a bill that fixes a problem or at least addresses it, because there's no such thing as a red or a blue catalytic converter.
Now, Senator Wilson, before we let you go, touch a little bit on what you expect to see regarding emergency powers reform and or the long-term health care tax and what you think is going to come about with that.
Well, you know, for starters, on the emergency powers is very near and dear to my Senate heart, as I'm the ranking member on state government and elections. And that is my priority, to get Senate Bill 5039 into a hearing. And we struggled last year. We couldn't get that into the process so we could have that adult talk about refining the governor's emergency powers. This isn't an attack on the governor. This is a bill that sets the stage for a level playing field for governors going forward, the next governors. And it involves the legislature. This is not an attack on the ability for the governor to declare an emergency. That's very important. The problem is that, as you can see, we're approaching 700 days of one-person rule, and that was never intended. We're supposed to come together and compromise and share the decision-making process versus being told what to do versus being asked to be part of the solution. So my greatest priority is, in fact, to have emergency review of the gubernatorial powers this session. Number one priority.